This is Nathan C. Johnson, Bible Teacher. Today I want to consider the word regarding murder. The sixth of the Ten Commandments reads, "You shall not murder." This is probably popularly known by its translation in the King James English Version, which is, "Thou shalt not kill." And that's how a lot of people know it as, and I believe that that translation, more than any other, is probably reason for a lot of the mistakes that people make regarding this commandment. Now you might say, how easy could it be, thou shalt not kill, or you shall not commit murder? I mean, how simple is that? Surely people can't get mixed up on this, of all the Ten Commandments, but they do. First of all, and maybe this is a little bit less common, but I remember talking with a man, and he was a man who claimed to be a Christian, and he was also a vegetarian, which it seems to me is a rather odd combination. But at any rate, this man was talking about this command, thou shalt not kill, and I heard him mutter under his breath after we were talking, and I don't know if he necessarily meant anybody to hear him or not, but he said something like, well, why do we kill animals then? And I think some people who do take a strict vegetarian line would take this same attitude, that killing animals is against this command of thou shalt not kill. Now, there can be no doubt that the eating of animals is something that is not particularly desirable. It's certainly not a pleasant thought to think that any time I sit down to eat a hamburger, some cow had to die, or any time I sit down and eat a piece of chicken, that some bird had to die. And that's certainly not a pleasant thought. And we do understand, as we read the scripture in Genesis chapter 1, and verses 29 and 30, that things have not always been this way. That God didn't originally create us to eat animals. At first, we were all vegetarians. Genesis 1:29, it says, God says, "See, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food." And it was so. So we see here that in the beginning, the way God created it, the way God planned it, before the fall and before sin came into the world, that not only were all human beings supposed to be vegetarians, but even all animals were vegetarians. And some people might have trouble with that, might say, well, animals are made to eat other animals and so forth, but I think it's the job of the man of faith to just believe this, that God had to reprogram man and animals to eat other animals. And yet God did do this. Now, we didn't start eating animals on our own. This was the command of God. If we turn ahead to Genesis chapter 9 and verses 3 and 4, God changes his prior command. He says, "Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood." So at this point, God changed his commandment regarding food. No longer was the command to just eat vegetables, just eat herbs, but now they were to eat animals as well. And so I believe for us to go backwards and to just eat plants again is to go back to a prior dispensation. And that's just another means of wrongly dividing the word of truth. Now, as I said, it might not be a pleasant thought to think that any time I eat meat, that some animal had to die. You know, I think in this, a very important truth is illustrated for us. And as we're told in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, "And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission." That is, there's no forgiveness of sins. And as we eat meat, I think that reminds us of that. You know, in the olden days when they had animal sacrifices, every time an animal died in sacrifice to pay for the sins of the people, that was a reminder to them of the dread and of the awful penalty of sin, that sin produces death. Now in our day, Christ has died and paid the ultimate blood sacrifice for our sins. And no longer do we have animal sacrifices. And yet I think as we eat meat, and as animals are our food, that this is a reminder to us that just as an animal has to die to cover sin, and in the same way an animal has to die for us to eat meat. And that's a reminder of that great principle of the cost of sin. So God is the one who commanded us to eat animals, and God is the one who commanded us to kill animals, both for sacrifice and for food. And so I think to teach that the command, thou shalt not kill or you shall not commit murder, to take that command and apply it to animals is just wrong. It's just wrong. That's not what that command is all about. Now there's a second way, and it's probably a more popular way that this command, thou shalt not kill or you shall not commit murder, is misused and abused. And that is in the matter of capital punishment. I have heard people use as an argument, and they seem to be fairly reasonable and logical people, but they used as an argument this command, thou shalt not kill or you shall not murder, as an argument to say that we should not commit capital punishment. And to suggest that killing people and capital punishment is breaking this commandment that you shall not murder. Now, I think the people who make this argument might be intelligent and reasonable people, yet I'm afraid that they do not know the Word of God, and they fall short when it comes to the matter of faith. Because if they knew the Scripture, and if they knew what is said elsewhere in the law, if they knew more than just the Ten Commandments, which sadly is all that a lot of people seem to know about the Bible, they would know that the penalty commanded by the Bible for breaking this commandment, you shall not murder, is capital punishment. We can see that in that same chapter of Genesis 9 that we were looking at with the animals. Right after the flood, God commanded this. In Genesis 9, in verses 5 and 6, where he says, surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of man. For the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. So it was God who commanded capital punishment for murderers. The same thing is true later on in the law, in defining how they were to respond to these Ten Commandments. In Numbers chapter 35, starting in verse 16. This passage is speaking of cities of refuge, where those who might accidentally kill someone could go, and they would not have to pay the death penalty for having mistakenly killed someone. But he gives exception to this in Numbers 35:16. He says, but if he, that is the murderer, if he strikes him with an iron implement so that he dies, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he strikes him with a stone in the hand by which one could die, and he does die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he strikes him with a wooden hand weapon by which one could die, and he does die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall be put to death. The avenger of blood shall put the murderer to death. When he meets him, he shall put him to death. If he pushes him out of hatred, or while lying in wait, hurls something at him so that he dies, or in enmity he strikes him with his hand so that he dies, the one who struck him shall surely be put to death. He is a murderer. The avenger of blood shall put the murderer to death when he meets him. Now, this matter of capital punishment was supposed to be done carefully, as it makes clear later on in this passage in verse 30, where he says, whoever kills a person, the murderer shall be put to death on the testimony of witnesses. But one witness is not sufficient testimony against a person for the death penalty. So they were to make sure that there was a sufficient number of witnesses. They were not to administer the death penalty if there weren't proper witnesses. And yet the death penalty, this punishment of capital punishment, was something commanded by the law and was commanded for the very breaking of this commandment, thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not commit murder. Now there's a third way that people misuse and abuse this commandment, and that is in the matter of fighting in war. There are many people who have become pacifists, and they base their pacifism on this command. They say that we should not go to war, we should not fight in war, because in war you kill other people. And the Bible commands, thou shalt not kill, or thou shalt not commit murder. And yet again, these people do not really know the Bible, do not really know the Word of God, and do not really believe what it has to say. Because if they did, they would know that God commanded the wiping out of people in war. He commanded the killing of people in war to his people Israel. Now, of course, we are not Israel, and we have no such command. And Israel's enemies, in many ways, were the Lord's enemies, and therefore deserved to die if the Lord said they should die. And yet to say that the command, thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not murder, in any way applied to war, is clearly wrong, because that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible sets forth the principle for war for the children of Israel in Deuteronomy, chapter 20, and starting in verse 10. In Deuteronomy 20:10, it reads, when you go near a city to fight against it, then proclaim an offer of peace to it. And it shall be that if they accept your offer of peace and open to you, then all the people who are found in it shall be placed under tribute to you and serve you. Now if the city will not make peace with you, but war against you, then you shall besiege it. And when the Lord your God delivers it into your hands, you shall strike every male in it with the edge of the sword. But the women, the little ones, the livestock, and all that is in the city, all its spoil, you shall plunder for yourself, and you shall eat the enemy's plunder which the Lord your God gives you. Thus you shall do to all the cities which are very far from you, which are not of the cities of these nations. But of the cities of these peoples which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance, you shall let nothing that breathes remain alive. But you shall utterly destroy them, the Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, just as the Lord your God has commanded you, lest they teach you to do according to all their abominations which they have done for their gods, and you sin against the Lord your God. So from this portion we can see clearly that this command, thou shalt not kill or you shall not commit murder, had nothing to do with fighting and killing in war. And as I said, it's true that we're not the nation of Israel, and we have no divine commission from God as far as what we're supposed to do in war. And we can't argue about wars. We can argue if a war is just and right, and things like that. But to argue that it's wrong to kill in war based on this commandment is just ludicrous. It's a misuse of the commandment, and it's a misinterpretation of Scripture. So what does this command, you shall not commit murder, have to do with? Well, clearly it has to do with the things we saw in Numbers 35. With one who strikes a man, whether it's while robbing, whether it's because he dislikes the person, and so forth. It's one who strikes another, or who in any other way puts another person to death. That person has committed murder. Not in the case of capital punishment, and not in the case of war, but just in the case of one-on-one, or of commanding another person be put to death unjustly. Certainly, this is something that no believer in Jesus Christ should do. We should not commit murder. And so this is the truth, I believe, about this commandment. We shouldn't get it mixed up with eating meat. We shouldn't get mixed up with capital punishment. And we shouldn't get mixed up with fighting in war. And yet it remains as a commandment to the children of Israel, and I think just as much a commandment today, that we should not murder.